You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I'm your host for this episode, Chris Chambers, and I am joined, as usual, with Mr. Andrew Chamberlain, CEO of Jericho Road Ministries. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing real well.
Good, man. Good. So we're going to be looking at another Jim Collins book. So the last few episodes that we did, we kind of walked through The Good to Great, right? The business classic, Good to Great. Jim Collins has written several books, and another one of the books that he wrote using some of the same empirical data, but pulling out some different ideas, came from or is called The Great by Choice, Great by Choice. And one of the principles that he talks about in that book is one that you have used for years. Is that right? Yeah.
It's called
the 20-mile march, the 20-mile march. And, you know, just briefly, you have a couple of guys, I think one guy named Scott, one named Anmison, and the two guys set off with their teams to reach the, I believe, the South Pole, right, was the idea. Is that right?
I believe it was, yeah.
And then, so in doing so, both they kind of took two different strategies. The one guy took the strategy that said, I'm going to take the bare minimum, right? The less that we have to carry, the less we have to take, the quicker we're going to be able to arrive at our destination. The other one took a different approach. And he said, listen, you know, we're going to have four thermometers. If we lose one, we'll have three left. If we lose another, we'll still have two more. He also had more than enough to get them in case they didn't reach the next destination, the next supply station in time, they still were going to be able to survive, right? They had enough to get past that. Now the group that only took the bare minimum, their strategy was, we're going to go as far as we can go, right? As long as we can go each day. So weather's good, we're going to go 50, 60, 70 miles, right? If the weather's not so good, we're going to stay in our tents, we're going to hunker down, and we're going to wait until the weather changes, and then we'll go out again. The other group, this is the group that that decided to take more than enough supplies, right? Kind of planning for anything that may come to them, as opposed to hoping for the best, or planning for just the best, rather, and not planning for the worst. This team decided, we're going to go 20 miles every single day. That's our strategy, right? We're going to go 20 miles today, even if the weather's fantastic, and we'll not go more than that. You know, we understand we could probably go 30, 40 miles. We're only going to go 20. And then the team, that same team on a bad day, you know, where they would have preferred to stay hunkered down, right, because the weather was really bad. They said, no. On those days, we're going to push ourselves. We're going to get that 20-mile marker, and then we're going to rest for the evening. The team that decided and used that 20-mile march, right, mentality, reached their destination. I believe it was 34 days before that second team even got close to them. And unfortunately, that other team with a different strategy ended up perishing in this particular venture. So anyhow, with all that being said, what Jim Collins then did was he took this idea of this 20-mile march and he said, I wonder if this is a principle that we can see in the business world. And sure enough, that's what he was able to pull out with the empirical data. So with that being said, Andrew, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you, man.
Yeah, well, that's a phenomenal introduction. And so just as a teaser, Great by Choice, as you mentioned, you can read that story. You don't have to go to that book for that story that you just shared about these two explorers, but it is in there. But Jim Collins does a great job. But Chris, you did. That's phenomenal right there. Just opening it up there. It gives a real life perspective of this. And so this concept that we move from the explorers to a business perspective, there are seven looks like there are about seven main principles that we need to discuss. And so obviously we don't have time to go in detail with each one of those, but I kind of want to give those to you and then maybe break it down just a little bit. But again, for our BNI chapter, hopefully this is a good invitation for you all to go get the book, study it, and read it for yourself, because this is a phenomenal book. So the first one is this idea of clear performance markers for minimum performance that create productive discomfort. We got it up on the screen now, so it's great. So clear performance markers for minimum performance that create productive discomfort. And the idea there is that last part specifically, that create productive discomfort. If you go back to the example, the story, I think this is maybe the easiest one to see from the standpoint of like just a visual. He said, hey, we're going 20 miles a day. Okay, regardless of what the weather is, If the weather's horrible, the weather's great, we're going 20 miles. And the idea, I'm going to skip down just a couple right here because it's very important, is you have to design these for your company, right? If you see that sixth point there. So what is your 20 miles for your company? You know, that's, this is a challenging thing because this isn't just goals. You know, you're not just setting a goal of say, hey, we want to have this many units sold or this gross amount or whatever. That's a goal. But this is this consistent. What kind of effort do we want to continually put out in order to reach those type of goals, but in a way that doesn't overextend ourselves, but still challenges us?
Yeah, I think that's important. Again, that productive discomfort. So we know, listen, this is going to be, it's going to push us. We're going to have to really work hard to get here, but we believe it is within our control to reach those as long as we stay within the system that we put in place. So again, creating that productive discomfort, we want to push ourselves, not so much where it's not going to happen. We're not going to reach those goals, get a good reachable, attainable goal without straining our resources, without going too far. So yeah, no, I think that's good.
Yeah. So again, you want to mark that out. So if you are let's just kind of use as a case example, maybe somebody from our BNI group. If you are someone who's highly dependent upon having, let's say you're someone who needs to meet a lot of people for your business. So you say, hey, I got to have 50 of these types of meetings, 50 of these types of meetings for, my business to succeed. Well, then, okay, time out how long those meetings take. Okay, then you set out like, okay, we know for this month, you know, I can legitimately get 20 of those done, but I got to push or something. So whatever those markers are, what I've done for myself is I create a sheet each week that I spend a lot of time in preparing. Like, these are the things I know I have to hit every week. And those are my performance markers. So again, it takes some work, some front end work, but you really got to figure out what are those things I got to consistently keep hitting in order to reach my goal. And so again, it's not the goal, but what are the things I got to do to hit the goal? Anything you think else could be added there, Chris, to make that point clearer?
No, I know on the clear performance markers, I think you got it. Yep.
Good. Well, let's go to the second one, self-imposed constraints. The key part here is the fact that you actually know how to constrain yourself, not just in the short term, but for the long-term benefit. What this means is, again, going to the example, the story of the two explorers, there was one explorer who would go maybe he goes 60 miles if the weather was good. But the problem was the things he didn't take into account was it took up a lot of resources to go that far. And then secondarily, he may have wore out his team or his horses. There's all kinds of different things. So it wasn't just the resources, it was the energy you had to put out. And was that reward of going an extra 10 miles? What was the cost of that reward later down the line? So if you think of a story of like the slow and steady turtle wins the race, there's a little bit of that here. Knowing that in good times of our business, we have to understand that there's going to be some rough times. There's downturns. You know, no industry is free of those things per se. So you have to know how to impose some type of constraint on yourself, not just from your energy, but also from your resources. So again, for us, one of the things that we do is we have a very clear financial plan. We know where we want to go, not only quarterly, but where we want to go monthly. And sometimes we even break that down weekly because we know the ebbs and flows of our own industry. And so we know when to make purchases, when to put money in savings. We know when to invest it in other avenues. Again, go back to that sixth point. Whatever industry you're in, you have to be able to design that for your own industry. So what I could say about what we do at Jericho may not be applicable for what you do because you have to know the difference of the constraints. I'll share one brief one there with Jericho. We know that, and this is probably very true for a lot of us here in Florida, we have a lot of snowbirds that come in, okay? And so we can see an uptick in sales and business specifically in our more colder months, but we know that we can't make a full budget off of that because that doesn't share the whole picture, you know. So know how to constrain yourself, and that's an important thing because I think some of us, especially maybe when we're starting out, and we just want to run full sprint all the time. You can't do that. So anything else probably to add there, Chris?
Yeah, only other thing I'd mention is, you know, I just kind of goes back to that, to the last series that we did on Good to Great, where he talks about the disciplined thought, right, or disciplined action, actually, is where I would put this. Knowing, again, keep staying true to whatever our mission is, right, staying true to what we're doing. Because, what you know, you have those really good months or those really good years, you start thinking, man, we could really branch out and start to do some other things, right? And if you do that, you could overextend yourself, and suddenly now, you're not even able to keep up with what your mission or vision is for your business. So that would be the only thing I'd mention there as well. In addition to, is, you know, these constraints aren't only kind of a day-to-day, week-to-week thing. It's also, let's make sure that from a mission standpoint, we stay true to what we're here to do.
Oh, that's a great point, because it's specifically from a resource standpoint, like you stated, you may get in front of your ski, so to speak, and not be able to do your core things anyway. So that's great. Really good point there. I won't spend as much time on this one, tailored to your specific enterprise, because I feel like I've kind of highlighted that more already, but designed by your own company. But again, you cannot take, this is something that everybody has to understand. You got to be able to do the work yourself. What I mean by that is you have to be able to do this work yourself. You can't just, have this idea that, you know, I can just go take from another company or another business on what they're doing and easily fit that into what I'm doing in my own business and what I'm doing in my own organization or whatever you may be leading. So you have to spend a lot of that front end effort, a lot of that effort to tailor this and to make it designed for your own self. Next, it's this idea of within the company's control. You shouldn't need luck. So one of the things that I think Jim Collins, in particular with Great by Choice, but I think in some of his other work that's really taught me personally, is that every industry that you have faces various government regulation that changes, if there's an ebb and flow to that, things that happen within the industry that are market related determining factors that everybody's facing, you know, a changing market. And then last, everybody's facing like some events that are outside, maybe they're, you know, severe weather or something that we can't really plan for to that extent. So he makes the point that you kind of already have to bake that in cake, expect those things, expect some of the worst, expect some of those challenges, those hardships. And so when you're making this 20-mile march of where we're going, better yet, how we're going to get where we're going, you have to think, okay, I got to be able to control what I can control and be prepared, if you will, for all the things that you can't control, because there's a lot of stuff that you can't control. So again, within the company's control, make sure you're achieving everything that you possibly can achieve, and you're not just basing it off of luck, because we're all facing some challenging things there. We'll go to this next one, a Goldilocks time frame. This is a good visual because you want nothing too long, too short, okay? One of the things that you can find specifically when you're working with the team, and maybe even if you're just a sole proprietor, you may be this type of person, is that if you do things that are just too long, they take too long, then the reality is that people can lose interest. But also if it's just too short, you might not have enough time for it to truly be effective. So when you're making this 20-mile march, when you're really setting out these markers, do it in such a way that is not too long, not too short. For me, what I found personally is I do these based off of a week. There are things that I do that are based off of a month, and there are things that we do based off of a year. I am someone who's not a huge fan of five-year plans. I think they are a little over emphasized in the business world. But the point I made a couple of years ago with a group was, look, you can make a five-year plan, but you have no idea what's going to happen. And I was proven right with the pandemic, because nobody planned that. We all had to kind of pivot, right? So this, you know, I won't get off on that soapbox, but the point is that you have to, when you're making this march, do it in such a way that is just that right amount of distance. Again, there are some things I would, and again, because of your company, your industry, you're going to have to make shorter term, midterm, or a longer term, but just find that right mix of, okay, not too long, not too short. Hey, Chris, is there anything you think would be good to add there from a timing perspective?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Like you mentioned with Jericho, the example you gave a moment ago, kind of a weekly, right? That's a weekly.
Yeah, that's a personal for me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So every week, these are the numbers that you want to make sure you're hitting. Certainly you could do that monthly, but if you did that, by the time you look to see whether you're meeting the numbers, it'd be too late, right? At that point,
yeah.
to do anything about it. So like you said, it has to be, you know, tailored to your specific business. And so only you are going to know that. And I think just real quick, Andrew, you kind of touched on this a moment ago. I haven't gone through this process yet with my business. And again, I love the idea. I love the concept. And I do intend to spend some time kind of thinking through what are these markers that we need. But if you could, how long did it take you to kind of first get your head wrapped around this idea, this concept, and then secondarily to then put those markers in place? And then how often do you have to change these markers so that you're getting out of it what you intend?
That's a great question. So first learned the concept back early 2000, I would say 2008, 10, somewhere in that range. I'd have to see when the book came out, but 2010-ish, let's just say there. I started putting it in right away for myself. It took me a while. I was pastoring a church, and so it was very difficult to put in some of those markers, but I did put some in. I don't know how effective I was with that, but you know, we did see, I think we were decently effective with it. I went to the next place to very similar. I was, by the time I went to my second position, I was more comfortable doing that. I knew some of the things I was after. And so I say that just to say that now it took me a little bit longer here than I anticipate, maybe almost even like a year to some extent, but I was adding some elements to an organization I never done before. So it takes a while. If you've been in your business, I think, for more than a year or 2 years, you probably could do this a month, 2 months, maybe. I don't know. It depends on how much time you can set out to do it, how often I have to change. Now I make slight changes, very slight, because I feel like I know where we're going and how to get there. So let me give you an example of something I do change. Like there are, like we're getting ready to do a fundraiser coming up, Ending Hunger in Hernando. When I made my 20-mile march for the year for each week, I didn't have that on that. Okay, here are the things I need to do with that. So I've added that back in while I'm like, I thought I was going to be working on this educational program for our staff, that it's just not there yet. So I take that out. So it's a slight change, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I think the third part was there a third part to that, or is that pretty sufficient?
No, I think that's it. Just, you know, how long did it take you to wrap your head around it? Number two, how long did it take you to have to, you know, really kind of know your business in order to utilize these concepts? And then number three, how often should you change? I think you answered all of those.
Yeah. So just one last piece there. Just don't feel discouraged if you don't. This is something I feel very strong about with all these kind of concepts. If you make a step in this and it's still like, it's not very good, but it still helps you a little bit, be encouraged by that, because, you know, I think one of the things that's very important is just taking that first step, taking the second, the third, and the fourth, because it just takes time to get good at these things.
And here's the other thing I'd mentioned when it comes to these concepts, these ideas, like not every one of them is going to land for every person, right? For your business, not every one of them is going to be like, oh, that's something I can use. But I can think back to 2017, 2018, and there was a book that I read, and there was just a little piece that I pulled out of that book, and I still use that today, right?
Oh, yeah.
It tremendously helped us out, right? Quite a bit. So I would echo, you know. You know, that sentiment there. You with us, Andrew?
Yeah, there must have been a little internet thing.
So we went from the Goldilocks time frame, I think. So now it says designed by your company. Have you kind of talked through that?
Yeah. So just to make sure I caught you the last part, there was that one piece from a book that really helped you move forward. So the idea of, hey, there might be something from this that can really move forward. Was I correct in hearing you there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Sorry, I had an internet problem there. All right. So last one here is must be achieved with great consistency. And what I do is I rate myself every week, and I give myself almost like a percentage for it. I have a notebook where I keep all these sheets. So I get kind of diligent with it for myself, but I used to say something along the lines of basically I'd say I'd have to get like a 90 or above every week on my stuff. I don't necessarily do all that anymore, but it's very similar. it's because I if I don't have enough, then I'm like, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, my goodness, I have quite a few spaces I have not done. I'm supposed to do this week. And so I'm like, I'm not leaving until I get a few more of these things done. And I knocked out quite a few, and it helps me move forward. So you have to be consistent in how you do this.
That culture of discipline. And again, we kind of talking through the previous book, we talked through the culture. You know, we have to be disciplined individuals. We have to have that disciplined thought, and we have to have that disciplined action. I think that's really where this kind of comes into play. And the thought that I just had is when you're looking at this 20-mile march, I think you could even have kind of tiers if you wanted to, right? Tiers of you know, these are things that we have to get done each and every week. Right. And maybe I have to hit 90%. If I don't, man, our business is going to be in trouble in a few months. Right. But yep. there could be some that are more aspirational or more goal driven. I'd love to see us, you know, maybe hit 60%, 50% of these, you know, and that way. And you could always change those, see how much of those things are really impacting your business. And then maybe move those on up if it really makes a big impact for you. I think there's multiple ways that you can really use this.
That's a really good point, because I actually do something very similar to that. There are certain things on there that are like, I have no. Like there's no wiggle room. I have to do this. You know what I mean? And there are certain things that are like, well, like I'm writing a devotional for our men, and I don't try to always put it on the back burner, but there are certain times, like I try to set aside, I got to do three of these a week. And there are times, like last week we had a very special week with somebody coming in town working with. And the reality was I had two full days dedicated to that. I couldn't write, you know? And so is that going to kill my business? No, it's not. So I understand that. So it's a really good point. No. And that goes back. And again, we're going to reiterate this one last time, and I'll be done here. You have to know how to design it for your own self. You have to tailor it to your own enterprise. So it's a really good point, but I would encourage everybody to try to do this. If you want to do a one-to-one with me even over this will be great. And that, as Chris is developing this for himself, I think that might be an opportunity for him to share as well there. But I love the 20-mile march. I'm a big advocate of it. So I appreciate us talking about it today.
Well, I appreciate it as well, Andrew. I'm going to stop that share there. You know, moving forward, we did give away a couple of copies of Good to Great. That's something we'll look to do periodically, through these episodes. If you do have any books, any good business books that really helped you in some way, we'd love you to tell us about it. Right, let us know. Send us a text message, you know, comment, any of those things. We can get the book. We can read through it. We can talk through it. Have you on with us, you know, to talk through it as well. Just like this was something that really impacted Andrew and is something he's used for the last 8, 9, 10 years. This can certainly, you know, if you have any of those kind of things, we'd love to have those conversations. So anyhow, with that being said, Andrew, thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Winning Edge Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge Podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!